Okay, I welcome all of you once again for this today's Bhakti Sangha conference call. And today we are really fortunate to have our speaker, His Grace Satyanand Prabhuji. So to have a small introduction about Prabhuji, I would like to hand over the call to Tiffany Mataji before we start the class. Mataji, can you please take over the call?
Hare Krishna, dear.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Bhagavan. His Grace Sanatan Dharma Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. Prabhuji has been practicing Krishna consciousness for more than 12 years. He is a brahmachari from Pune. And Prabhuji also studied BTech at the National Institute of Technology in Trichy and knows many different languages. His current services include area management and project development head in areas around Pune. Prabhuji is a counselor, youth and corporate preacher, congregation preacher, and secretary at Voice magazine. He is also a remote mentor for the new Vedic Cultural Center at the Pune Temple. So Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Mataji, for the introduction. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavas Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association and this Bhakti Sangha conference call. We are really fortunate to hear from you today. So I would like to hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Dandavat Pranams, all devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Srila Gurudev. Yes, without me telling, many of you are turning on your videos because you know the terms and condition. If I come for the class, I need the videos on. Otherwise, well, we are not having my class. Hare Krishna, I request all devotees to kindly show their mercy upon this poor conditioned soul by turning on videos because I really want to ensure that you're all there. Thank you. Thank you. I hope even the others are considering turning on the videos. Thank you so much. And the moment Bhargavi Mataji mentioned that today's class will be given by His Grace Satyanand Prabhu, I was very happy. Then later on I realized, oh, she has misspelled my name only. So I was telling, oh, well, very nice. I get to hear from some other Vaishnava. Because normally I come to this Sangha and I get to hear only from myself. I don't get to hear from all of you. So I was quite happy and shocked. And then, well, Tiffany Mataji gave my introduction. So, well, then I got, well, the speaker is me only. All right. So again, a humble request to all the devotees to turn on videos so that we can have a very lively and interactive session. And I can also be able to see all of you because the face is the index of the mind. And by looking at your faces, I can exactly find out what's going on in your mind. And I can definitely try to serve all of you better. So we'll start with prayers. All right. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschada Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhobhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Ukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Nangayate Giram Yatkripatamaham Mande Shri Guru Udina Tarinam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram Paramananda Madhavam Hare Krishna. So first of all, I wish to wish all of you a very, very happy Ekadashi. Bhaimi Ekadashi. Yes. So Ekadashi is a day which is called as Bhakti Janani. The mother of Bhakti, or that day which helps us to produce more Bhakti in our hearts. Bhakti increases. So that's why Ekadashi Devi is called as Bhakti Janani. And today, any potent forms of devotional service that we perform, any potent forms. Yes, Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtana Bhagavata Shravana Mathura Vasa Shri Murti Rashraddhaya Sevana. Either it be associating with sadhus and devotees, whether it be chanting of the holy name, or whether it be listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, or whether it be worshipping of the deities, or going and residing in a holy place, any one of these five potent forms of devotional service to this day bears 1,000 times result. So you're all good business people. You know how, exactly how to do spiritual business. That's why I see many of you have come in good numbers for today's Srimad Bhagavatam discussion. Yes. So last time I remember taking the section from the first chapter of the fifth canto where, okay, that's something that I don't need to do it, right? They will do it. The organizers will do it. They'll do it.
Yes, okay. Prabhu.
Yeah, please. Okay, I thought that was a message for me. Change your view. Okay, where do I go now? This is the bed. Like, in India, there's population issue. There's space problem. And this, somehow I found a little bit space. Yes. And now I need to change my place in certain way. I don't know. So there were just a small joke I got reminded of. There were two Indians. Yes. So one of the Indian was telling that, well, today I have a 4 BHK flat. I have Mercedes Benz. I have Lamborghini. I have a Chevrolet. I have the best of all vehicles. I have all the riches. I have bank balance. What do you have? And the other person says, I have parking space. That's what is not there. For many people, I have space to park. So space is really costly, right? So when I was told to go to another place, well, that would have been difficult. Somehow I'm squeezing myself here. But anyway, wherever you are, yatsyat sarvatra sarvada, you can discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. So last time we were discussing about Swayambhuva Manu, his son. Swayambhuva Manu wanted to take retirement. And his son, Priyavrat Maharaj, he wanted him to take up the management. Because it was quite a long time that Swayambhuva Manu was performing his duties and responsibilities. And at that point of time, Priyavrat Maharaj was in the Brahmacharya Ashram. But now, in this particular chapter, Priyavrat Maharaj is already married. And he has a wonderful son, about whom we are going to be discussing today. His name is Agnidhara. Yes, Agnidhar. So let's go and find out what's exactly happening to Agnidhar, this personality. So here we are in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Even the title is The Activities of Maharaj Agnidhar, the son of Priyavrat Maharaj. So this is text 2. So this is prose order. You're not expected to repeat. You can just focus your attention on the mantra. Even listening to the mantras of Srimad Bhagavatam is very, very purifying. Yes. Sa chakkadachit pitruloka kamaha suravara vanita krida chaladronyam bhagavantam vishvasrajam patim avrita paricharyo pakarana atmaikagrena tapasvyaradhyam bhabhuva. Well, we go to the translation directly. Translation. Desiring to get a perfect son and become an inhabitant of Pitralok, Maharaj Agnidhara once worshipped Lord Brahma, the master of those in charge of material creation. He went to a valley of Mandara Hill, where the damsels of the heavenly planets come down to stroll. There, he collected garden flowers and other necessary paraphernalia and then engaged in severe austerities and worship. So first of all, I wanted to check. I hope this is the shloka that we are supposed to discuss. Yes?
Yes.
5.2.2? Just confirming.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhuji. Whatever you take, no problem.
No. I give the same shloka.
This is the right verse. All right, fine. Because I get the communication from many via medias. So one after the other, finally. I was once asked, Prabhuji, if today's Ekadashi, you can take some rest also. I said, no, Ekadashi is not meant for rest. Ekadashi is meant for extra service. Yes, extra kirtan. And right now what is happening is called Katha Kirtan. And Katha Kirtan, you can participate in Katha Kirtan very nicely if you all turn on videos. That way you will be connected to the speaker. You will not feel like doing anything else. Right? Thank you. So here is where we try to understand the translation first. Yes, that's how we normally go. Here we find that Agnidhara, unlike his father Priyavrat Maharaj was so serious about going back to Godhead. He was so serious about Krishna consciousness. He was so serious about pleasing his guru. He was so serious about pleasing the authorities. Yes. And he was a person who was afraid of taking up managerial responsibilities in the world because he thought he would go to Maya. Yes, he was really afraid. And here we find his son. He's wanting to get a perfect son. There's no problem with this. There's absolutely no problem with this because everybody enters a grihastha ashram with a particular purpose. Yes. Putrarte kriyate bharya, pindarte kriyate putra. There's absolutely no problem. Like one marries to get a good progeny. And with a good progeny, one tries for deliverance. A good progeny, the purpose is for deliverance from this material world. Pu nama narakat rajyet iti putraha. The meaning of putra or a son or an offspring is one who can deliver his parents, his or her parents from Pu. Pu is a kind of hellish planet where there are severe tribulations and sufferings which are inflicted upon the conditioned soul. And one who can make his parents escape from that particular suffering, such a person is called putra. On the other hand, a person who cannot, that particular offspring or child who cannot fulfill that purpose of delivering his parents from that particular kind of hell, poo hell, he is called as mutra. And those of you who know Sanskrit, mutra means, well, urine. Both the urine and the semen come from the same source. So a person who cannot fulfill the responsibility of a good offspring is considered as good as urine in the Shastras. So one needs a putra, not a mutra. And that was the precise concern of Agnidhara. He wanted a putra. There's nothing wrong about it. And previously in the Vedic times, people used to prepare for every single thing. And nowadays we find people like me don't even prepare for Bhagavatam class. Yes, we have to prepare our consciousness for every single thing. And especially if somebody is going to get an offspring, to get a son, well, that's a great deal of preparation. We find Daksha Prajapati. Yes, Daksha Prajapati, whom we saw in the fourth canto. He prepared himself in order to be a Prajapati, a progenitor of a universe, to create and attract good population in the universe. He did penance for 5 Manvantras. This is 5 Manvantras. How much is that, Prabhuji? Is it 5 days? No. 5 Manvantras means, well, I'll give you the calculation. Well, one Kali Yuga is 432,000 years. Dwapar Yuga is double of Kali Yuga. Treta Yuga is triple of Kali Yuga. Satya Yuga is 4 times Kali Yuga. So 4 plus 3 plus 2 plus 1 is equal to 10. So this particular cycle of Satya, Treta, Dwapar, Kali is called a Divya Yuga. So one Divya Yuga is equal to 10 times Kali Yuga, which is 43,23,000 years. This is just one Divya Yuga. So like this, 71 Divya Yugas, I'm not doing the math. 71 Divya Yugas is considered one Manvantra, and Daksha Prajapati meditate for 5 such Manvantras he was meditating. Whew. What level of meditation was required to get a population, to beget the right type of people for the universe? Huh. That was the meditation required. So here he has come to get a good offspring. There's nothing wrong. But what is wrong? What is wrong here is ultimately everybody should desire to go back home, back to Godhead. But he wanted to become an inhabitant of Pitraloka. Why? We are going to get the answer from Srila Prabhupada in the purport. You're going to come there. And as a result of which, Maharaj Agnidhara, instead of worshipping Lord Krishna, was worshipping Brahma. If you read the Srimad Bhagavatam second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the third chapter describes 2 things. The third chapter of the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describes 2 categories of people. The people who worship intelligently and the people who worship unintelligently. So I just thought of just taking you there for a moment. Just a glimpse. We will not read the whole section. This is to let all of us know what's there. Govinda, Govinda Hari, yes. So you see these verses, 2 to 7. I'm just going to show you the translation. Now here, somebody who desires to be absorbed in impersonal jyoti worships Brahma. One who desires powerful sex life worships Indra. One who desires good progeny worships Prajapatis. One who desires good fortune worships Durga Devi. So like this, each and every, there's a, whichever material desire you wish to fulfill. Yes, there are gods, like one who wants good stock of money should worship the Vasus. There are 8 Vasus, 8 types of demigods. One desiring to be very powerful should worship Agni. Stock of grains, Aditi, the mother of the deity of the sky, the mother of all demigods. With the desire kingdom, yes, there is Vishwadeva. So like that, there are list, huge list. Somebody desires a good wife, yes, worship Apsaras, Urvashi, the Apsara. So like this, everything is mentioned. But after all that, it is mentioned that somebody who wants to have a spiritual advancement, such a person is intelligent. He should worship Lord Vishnu. And in fact, the final conclusion is in the chapter, this particular section, is akamak sarva kamova moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. No matter what kind, whether you're desireless or you have many material desires or you want to attain liberation, whatever, become a broad-minded person. Udaradi, di means intelligence. Udara means broad-minded intelligence, who has a big intelligence. Become such a person and do bhakti yoga very intensely. Tivrena means intense devotional service and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is something ideally which Agnidar should have done anyways. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong in desiring a good progeny. There's nothing wrong in having a good son. There's nothing wrong. But the problem is you are worshipping Brahma, the demigod. Yes, ideally Brahma, the demigod, is worshipped for getting a good progeny or for getting an admittance in the Brahman. Such a person. That's what we learn from the Bhagavatam. So here is the proof. The object and the objective of worship, both were not perfect. When you do a worship, when you do an austerity, you need both object and objective. Ideally, the object should be Krishna and the objective should be prema, pure devotional service, to get loving devotional service for Krishna. Whereas he doesn't have both. And next aspect. He went to a valley of Mandara Hill. Any idea where is this Mandara Hill? So this Mandara Hill is one of the hills that comes in the Ilavrata Varsha. This is where exactly in the center of the Jambudvip. Jambudvip is one of the center of the 7 islands of Bhuloka. So that is where, right in the center of Jambudvip, besides the Meru Parvat, there is a place called Mandarachal, the Mandara Hill. And this Mandarachal was used by the demigods and the demons for performing the Samudra Manthan Leela. Some of you remember Mandarachal. That was used. This was used as a pivot. So that is Mandarachal. So he went there. And what is wrong with that? Where the damsels of heavenly planets come down to stroll. My God. Is that a good place to do tapasya? I don't think so. Already in this world, there are sufficient distractions. And here, our dear Agnidara, first of all, having a wrong object of worship, wrong objective of worship, he is going to a wrong place of worship also. He's going to a place where he's surely going to get distracted. It's like, well, some of us, some of the grihasthas may have televisions. For what? For educating their children. It's quite obvious. They may need it. So when you go and there's nothing wrong in having a television and getting your children exposed to good shows where they can be educated. But going in front of television with your japa bead bag to perform your sadhana. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Oh, that channel is good. Hare Ram, Ram. So you sit in front of the TV with your japa bag. What's going to happen? You're going to get distracted. You go with your japa bag to a movie theater. Well, How many of you think you're going to be calling out Krishna very intensely? That's really not going to happen. Or you take a bead bag and suppose you're going to a restaurant and chanting, where I want to do my 16 rounds in Sri, let me go to a restaurant. Govinda's restaurant. Govinda's. Devotees don't go to here and there. Govinda. That there comes pizza. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Oh, that's wonderful sandwiches. Hare Krishna. Cheese sandwich, my favorite. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. How are we going to have desires for pure universal service? So when you choose a site for, there are acharyas like Shyamanand Pandit. He's one of our acharyas. You know Shyamanand Pandit, where he used to do his sadhana? If you even today go to Radha Shyam Sundar Radha Vinod temple in Vrindavan, just beside, away from the temple, not many of them know it, there is an entrance which takes you underground. There's an underground facility made. You go there, there is pin drop silence. Absolutely no touch of this. You don't have any sound. Just like there's pin drop silence from your side right now, as I'm speaking Bhagavatam class. As you're all hearing attentively, I hope none of you have gone away. That's why I asked for turning on videos. So there in that pin drop silence, you chant. I've chanted whenever I go there. I chant at least about, say, for half an hour, because that kind of chanting is something which I've never experienced. That's the kind of chanting that we need to do. On the other hand, you sit in front of laptop while checking your emails, while doing something else. And then you take your bead bag. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh my God. That's japa killer. That's the end of chanting. So here, there is a personality, our dear Agnidhara, who is going to a place where beautiful damsels, heavenly apsaras are going to come. He's choosing such a place for doing his penance. Is that a wise choice? No. Wrong object, wrong objective, and wrong environment for doing the tapasya. There he collected garden flowers and other necessary paraphernalia and then engaged in severe austerities and worship. All right. So he wanted to do severe austerities, tapasya. Yes, that's the very goal of human life. Ahead in the fifth chapter, Rishabhdev is going to definitely tell that this human body, naham deho deha bhajan loke kashtan kaman arhate vidbujamye tapo divyam putrakayena sattvam shuddhyeti asmad brahma saukhyam dvanantam. The very purpose of human life is not sense gratification. It is to do tapasya. But what kind of tapasya? Yes, tapo divyam, a divine penance, divine austerities. But what unfortunately Agnidara is engaged in is mundane austerities. The austerities are severe, like even Hiranyakashipu. His austerities were severe. But his purpose was very mundane. He wanted to become Brahma. He was worshipping Brahma in order to overthrow Brahma and become the next Brahma. And to collapse, to destroy the Brahmanical culture and the cow protection. And thus kill the demigods. And even he thought he could kill Vishnu. Yeah. That's the height of foolishness. So that was the purpose for which he was meditating. That is the purpose for which he was performing penance. Yeah. So really, so sad. He's going to engage in, he's going to do a lot of hard work for nothing. That's what gives me great pain. I should pain all of us. Severe austerities, well, what is the result of such austerities? Yes, one thing you are going to definitely get, that is pain, suffering. Because of the fatigue that is caused due to austerities, but you don't get Krishna. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The king became a Pitraloka Kami, or desirous of being transferred to the planet named Pitraloka. Now we need to understand here, what is Pitraloka? Pitraloka is a planet of the ancestors. That's called as Pitraloka. So once three generations of ancestors stay in Pitraloka, suppose one's parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, they reside in Pitraloka till the time one is present performing one's prescribed duties in the earthly realm, in the earthly planets. And where exactly is this Pitraloka? This Pitraloka is half of the moon planet. Half of the moon planet is Devaloka, Chandraloka it is called. And the other half of the moon planet is called as Pitraloka. So here, this is the place where Pitras, they reside. They reside there. And desire, and this is was his desire. He wanted to go there to Pitraloka, and ultimately he attains that also because he had such a strong desire. So Pitraloka is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Yanti deva vata devan pitran yanti pitravatan bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti mat yachinopi maam. So Lord Krishna says, if you worship the demigods, you go to the planets of demigods. You worship the pitras, you go to the planets of the pitras. You worship the ghosts and such kind of unholy spirits, you go to that particular destination. But if you worship me, you shall come to me. This is 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So I was reading the Vishnu Puran. There it is mentioned that those dutiful brahmanas, the brahmanas who are dutiful, they go to heavenly planets, Swargalok. Those kshatriyas who are very dutiful, they go to Pitralok. Those Vaishyas who have been dutiful, they just do the prescribed duties. They go to sub-demigods. Like there are Vidyadharas, Charanas, Kinnaras, Apsaras, and all these planets. So they go there. And a Shudra who performs his prescribed duties, he will get a higher destination. He may become a Brahmana, Kshatriya, or Vaishya, depending on his service, his loyalty. Yes. So normally Pitraloka is something which is desired by mundane Kshatriyas. I'm not talking about Rajarishis. Bhagavatam has many Rajarishis. Although they are Kshatriyas, they are Brahmanical. Like Yudhishthir Maharaj is called Rajarishi. Prahlad Maharaj is a Rajarishi. Dhruva Maharaj is a Rajarishi. Yes. Parikshit Maharaj is a Rajarishi. They are all Rajarishis. So they always desire spiritual destination. They don't want to go to Pitraloka. They want to go to back to Godhead. On the other hand, here, Agnidara is only Raja. He's not a Rajarishi. So that is why he's desiring for Pitraloka. All right. And whatever destination, whatever we are preparing for, we definitely get the destination. To go to this planet, one needs very good sons who can make offerings to Lord Vishnu and then offer the remnants to the forefathers. The purpose of the Shraddha ceremony is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, so that after pleasing him, one may offer prasad to one's forefathers and in this way make them happy. I'll explain you the cycle. Actually, what happens is the sun is present in the heavenly realm for 6 months. That is called as Uttarayana. And 6 months the sun is away from the upper planets, which is called as Dakshinayana. Uttarayan means sun going to north, and Dakshinayan, sun coming to south, down. So when the period in which the sun is there up for the 6 months, yeah, that particular period is the period of 6 months, which is considered daytime for the demigods and pitras. So that's the daytime, the daylight hours, 12 hours. On the other hand, when the sun is away for 6 months, that particular period is the night time, another 12 hours. So 12 plus 12, 24 hours. So our 1 year, that means our 365 days, is equal to 24 hours for the pitras and demigods and everyone else. So now this is no offense, please. This I have not spoken. I have not spoken this. I have heard this. So I'm just mentioning. Those who are human beings, they eat only twice a day. I'm not telling about anybody. And those who are demigods, they eat once. And normally dash category eats 3 times a day. I'm not saying anything. You all can fill up the dash. You're all intelligent. Dash eat 3 times a day. Human beings eat 2 times a day. And demigods eat 1 time a day. So in 1 day, they need 1 meal. So in our 1 year, they need 1 meal, the pitras. And that period is called as the Pitrupaksha or the Shraddha ceremony. So that is a system by which a son, pitra, the son, putra, can offer pinda, that's called pinda, to the 3 generations of ancestors. Got it? Because they need food once a day. So that particular day in which we feed the food is not just food, it's Vishnu Prasada. That's what they can accept. The heavenly standard of eating is different. Heavenly standard is different. There you need Havishanna. That means special rice cooked in ghee. That is a food preparation which is accepted in the heavens. Karna, when he went to the heavens, Pitralok, Karna had to go to Pitralok. Mahabharata has a reference. So when he went to Pitralok, he sat for his meal once a day. And you know what he was given in the meals? In the meals, Karna got all gold coins. all the gold coins. There were golden biscuits and different loaf of gold. So it was not a loaf of bread. That's how he got in. Karna asked, come on, what is this? He asked the person who was serving, I think you made a mistake in serving me. I was supposed to get some food to eat. He said, sorry, you have not done the Pitrupaksh properly. So you are going to get this to eat, because all your life, that's what you donated, charity. So then Karna said, is there any way I can mend the situation? And they advised him, go down to the earth and do the Pitrupaksh properly and come back. See, a devotee doesn't have to do all these things. On the other hand, one who is not a devotee, he has so much of unnecessary obligation like this. Karna had to come back, do the Pitrupaksh properly, and then he was able to get food in the Pitrulok. On the other hand, for devotees, Devarshi Bhutaptra Nam Pitranam Na Kinkaro Nayam Ranich Rajan Sarvatmanaye Sharanam Sharanyam Gato Mukundam Parihartya Kartum. So all a devotee has to do is simply perform devotional service, and Deva, demigods, Rishi, the great saints, Bhuta, other living entities, Atmaja, children, Nranam, other human beings, Pitranam, the Pitruloka, all kinds, because we become indebted to all these people. Bhutas also refer to the other people, like horses, the cattle, we become indebted to all of them. But all the debts are completely cleared off just by performing Sarvatmanaye Sharanam Sharanyam. With your one's wholeheartedness, one should simply surrender to Krishna. Gato Mukundam Parihartya Kartum, and one is relieved from all the debts. That's what happens when one performs devotional service. So one need not take care of all these things. I'm just mentioning how complicated is the system of Pitrupaksha and Shraddha, which Agnidhar is going to try to do. Well, all right. The inhabitants of the Pitruloka are generally men of the Karma Kandiya or fruitive activities category, who have been transferred there because of their pious activities. Yes. In order to move up, there is Om Bhu Bhuva Swaha. We say Tat Savitur Varenyam. So Bhu means earth. Bhuar means the next, the planet just above the Bhulok, which is Yakshalok, Surya Loka. They are all in Bhuar Lok. And then there is Swaha, Swarga Lok. So anybody who wishes to go up, they need to perform sakarma or pious activities like yajna, dana, tapa, vrata. Yajna means sacrifices to demigods. Dana means offering charities in terms of cow or gold to the brahmanas. Tapa, that is the process which is chosen by Agnidhar. He wants to do severe austerities by collecting fruits and sandalwood and offering various services. And there's vrata also. There are different kinds of vratas which one performs. Vratas are fasting. Like today is also Ekadashi Vrat. Ekadashi Vrat is not a karma kand. Ekadashi Vrat is pure devotional service. But there are the Somvar Vrat, Mangalvar Vrat. Many people, there are a lot of vratas like that. One performs, one gets some material benefits. So such kind of fasting, etc. also can render one to go to the heavenly planets. So this is all karma kanda, which is to go to heavens and enjoy there. So that is not a path which is chosen by devotees, definitely. Yeah. Okay. So they can stay there as long and until their descendants offer them Vishnu Prasad. Yes, till the time the Vishnu Prasad is coming, they can stay there. Otherwise, even their stay there becomes very hellish. Although that may be in the heavenly realm, it becomes a hellish stay. Everyone in the heavenly planet, such as Pitruloka, however, must return to the earth after exhausting the effects of pious acts. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Kshine Punya Marte Lokam Vishanti. The persons who perform pious acts are transferred to the higher planets. But when the effects of their pious acts are over, they are again transferred to the earth. This is what happens. Now, many times people think going to the heavenly abode is everything. It's all in all. Even in India, there's a tradition. We ask, where is your grandfather? They don't say, my grandfather passed away. You ask him, where's your grandfather? He's dead and gone. Who cares, man? What do they say? Unka swargavas ho gaya hai. Swargavasa. He has got place in the heavens. They have faith that my grandfather has become a swargavasi. He is right now residing in the heavens, in the Pitrulok. So they have that faith. Swargavas ho gaya hai. Unka swargavas ho gaya hai. That's what they say. Swargavas. He's become a resident of the heavens. But even now one may feel, okay, once you've gone to heaven, There are certain Abrahamic religions where they say that ultimately there is heaven, there is hell immediately after this life. That's all. And then you stay there perpetually. There's nothing called perpetual hell, but there is nothing called perpetual heaven also. Because as soon as you can stay in heavens as long and until you have the pious deeds. And the beauty is that even the impious deeds go away and the pious deeds also get depleted one after the other. And as soon as you no longer have punya to stay on the heavens, you don't have the pious deeds to stay there, we are kicked out of the place. Yes, literally. One is kicked out from that heavens. And then one falls. He falls from the top in the form of rains. Absorbed by the soil, become the grains. The grains are eaten by the humans and that turns into semen. And after the formation of semen, one semen goes and breaks the egg and there's the formation of the womb. So can you imagine how fortunate we are to get these human bodies? How difficult, how there is so much of competition. So this is the cycle of karma which is explained. So one falls from the heavens, as soon as punya is over in the form of rains, rains become grains eventually, the grains are eaten by human beings and that's how one gets a body. Very amazing, interesting concept. Right? So that's how he's transferred to the earth. Now this may seem very decent. Oh, he's transferred to the earth. There may be a palanquin to escort or there may be a special vehicle sent. Come on, please pack up your luggage. I'm going to take you to earth. It's not so a very rosy picture. You're kicked off from the heavens. Sent out, get out. That's how harshly one is treated to come to the heavens. It's actually kicked out of the planet because you no longer deserve to stay there. No punya, get out. That's it. Just like you go to some kind of grand restaurant where you have a suite. You have a grand suite where you're staying. Yes, and that grand suite is something like maybe $1 million a day. Yeah, that's the price you have to bear. $1 million a day suite. $1 million suite. There are suites like this, I've heard. And as soon as you don't, your bank account falls down. Well, I just have now $1,000 in my account. So what? The same person who served you the meals every day, the same person who came for the housekeeping, the same person who did your laundry, those very same people are going to take you and kick you out of the suite and kick you out of the restaurant. Get out. No money, get out. That's the nature of this world. There's no free lunch. Similarly, there's no free lunch in the heaven planets as well. The same science applies there. Go ahead. We have one more paragraph. Since Maharaj Priyavrat was a great devotee, how could he have begotten a son who desired to be transferred to Pitriloka? Lord Krishna says, Pitrinyanti Pitrivataha. Persons who desire to go to Pitriloka are transferred there. Similarly, Yantima Jajinopi Mam, those who are wanting to desire to the Vaikuntha planets, they can also go there by desire. Now this is the question, a serious question which all of us should have. How did this guy turn to be like this? No right object, no right objective, no right environment, simply working hard for nothing. Since Maharaj Agnidhar was the son of a Vaishnava, he should have desired to be transferred to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha Loka. That should have been his desire. I want to go back to Krishna, my home, the abode of Lord Krishna. Why then did he desire to be transferred to Pitriloka? Why? So there's an Acharya called Giridhar Goswami. So he's telling that Agnidhara was born when Maharaj Priyavrat was infatuated by lusty desires. So this was the mentality of Priyavrat while he was begetting the child. Now the mentality with which one begets the child is very, very important. That mentality while union attracts that particular soul to come and occupy the body. So it's how deep it is. So Priyavrat was not in a good consciousness when he was uniting with his wife. As a result of which, Agnidhar was a soul who came, who was not having the right scripts of life. He was having wrong values. Or you can say sub-values, not the perfect values. This may be accepted as a fact because sons are begotten with different mentalities according to their time of conception. We can see this also. You see, Brahmaji, he did tapasya, a great penance, And then he begot his first children, who were Sanak, Sanatana, Sanandana, Sanat Kumar. Four children who were called as Brahma Kumaras or four Kumaras, famous Kumaras. So these four stood for Sankhya, Tapasya, Yoga, and Vairagya. The four emblems of such powerful fields. These were the four Kumaras because he did Tapasya. Then he told his four children, come on, you're still children. When are you going to grow up? Grow up and assist me in the job of creating the population. They said, sorry, father, we want to be Brahmacharis. Saffron, Shikha, that's how we want to be. And his father, oh, he gets angry. And the anger is visible in the eyebrows. So he got very angry. And from the middle of the eyebrows came Rudra. And now this Rudra, when he was told, well, Brahma was very happy. Yes, yes, great. I got another son, you four. Go, go, fight. And then this Rudra started crying. This baby was always crying. He was always crying. That's why his name became Rudra. Okay, Rudra. Rudra means someone who cries. What do you want? And this baby is not saying anything. He's continuously crying. Usually, now Brahma did not have a Mataji beside milk, nothing. What to do? So Brahmaji then got the intelligence to give this child 11 places. And he gave him 11 wives. 11 wives. And usually people cry after marriage. But this person, he stopped crying after marriage. It's the opposite. He stopped crying completely. And then Brahma told, aha, now this is a great arrangement. There are 11, I got 11 Rudras and Rudranis. And now all 11 of you. See, I just had one, now they became 11. That's a great arrangement. Start creation. But they started to destroy everything. One was emitting fire. Emitting fire and destroying. Other one was taking all the things and breaking them down. And it was so much of havoc. And Brahma looked into his CCTV camera. He was looking at the footage. Hey, what's all this? I asked you guys to create. You guys are just breaking up everything that I've just created. Come back, all of you. Then he comes. Rudra comes there like an innocent child. What do I do now? Go and do penance. You're unfit to create anything. Or rather, wait a minute. Or I'll call you at the time of destruction. Till then, shh, go and do penance. I said, okay, father. They go there. So the mentality was anger. And as a result of which, the Rudra showed up. The product was like that. The mentality took place accordingly. On the other hand, when Brahma meditated with bhakti, he prayed intensely to Lord, from his heart came Narada. Narada. Narada Muni, who just gave Narayan to everyone or Krishna to everyone. Whomever he would see, he would give them Krishna. The best preacher in the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, whose name is missed not even once in the all 12 cantos. He's there everywhere because he has done so much of good preaching. He came from the heart of Brahma, heart of devotion. So the mentality of the parents does reflect on the child. Again, we see the example of third canto, Kashyapa and Diti, they united in the evening hours. That's not the time to unite. Shadkriya Sar Deepika says that you should unite only in the Antim Prahara, the last prahara, 9 to 12. The Sandhya Prahara, which is 6 to 9, is meant for all varieties of devotional spiritual activities. It begins with the Gayatri, and then one should do all spiritual activities that time. That's not meant for union. So slight mistake in the time, it produced two giant, ghastly, notorious, dangerous demons, namely Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, who were terrorists, the original terrorists. They used to terrorize and harass people. That's it. Because that's what the mentality was of the parents. They wanted to defy the laws. So they got two more big lawbreakers into the creation. Yes, so the mentality matters a lot. Similarly, whenever we do any service, we do any preaching, the mentality of a preacher also matters a lot. If we don't purify our own consciousness and we are preaching, well, the preaching products of ours will not bear the right consciousness. So when we find that our preaching is not bearing good fruits, our preaching is not bringing in the right people, we need to check if our consciousness is right. Because this is also a kind of creation. This is the Shrautra creation. There's Shukra creation, which is the seminal creation. There's Shrautra creation, which means we are creating through the sound vibration. even over there, the consciousness matters a lot. Going ahead. According to the Vedic system, therefore, before a child is conceived, the Garbhadhana Samskar is performed. Samskaras. The word samskara refers to that process which is meant to purify one's existence from all varieties of bad association. Prabhupada writes it in the sixth canto, Ajamil section. There are 40 samskaras, but 40 is something we cannot even remember. So as per Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, one of the six Goswamis, he writes a book called Shatakriya Saradipika, a must-read book for many grihasthas. So there he practically tells many, many rules and regulations for a grihastha to follow for the Garbhadhara Samskara. So if you read that, it's going to be quite horrific. It is said the male-female member should be resting on mats 3 days before uniting. He even writes exactly when to unite to produce what kind of son. I'm not getting into the details. But some austerities are like sitting on mat, sleeping on mat for 3 days, performing great spiritual chanting throughout the whole 3 days. And then one should stay like a brahmachari. Both husband and wife should be like brahmacharis, living a simple life, eating simple food once a day. So there are so many rules and regulations like this. So normally what's prescribed in our ISKCON society is, before the husband and wife unite, should we get a child? They chant 50 rounds. They chant 50 rounds and then unite to produce a child. And that is bhakti is powerful. That is accepted as a very good garbhadhana. Garbhadhana samskara. This ceremony molds the mentality of the father in such a way that when he plants the seed in the womb of his wife, he will beget a child whose mind will be completely saturated with devotional attitude. Devotional attitude. At the present moment, however, there are no such Garbhadhana Samskaras, and therefore people generally have lusty attitude when they beget a child. Yes. So this is so unfortunate because many people are not trained in these aspects. We see the natural effect on the population. Yes, it is visible. They're not very saintly or godly in their nature, because devotees will produce devotees. Non-devotees will produce the same kind of people. Especially in this age of Kali, there are no Garbhadhan ceremonies. Everyone enjoys sex with his wife like cats and dogs. So sex is not for recreation, it's for procreation. It's for procreation and not for recreation. Therefore, according to Shastric injunction, almost all the people of this age belong to the Shudra category. Kalau Shudra Sambhavaha. And here Shudra doesn't mean Shudra by caste. No, that's not caste. Shudra means untrained population. That's the meaning of Shudra. Those who are not trained in Vedic principles. Yes. Traditionally, the Varnashram, there would be one Brahmana, 9 Kshatriyas, 90 Vaishyas and 900 Shudras. That would make up the entire 1000 population of the society. Yes, 1 plus 9 plus 90 plus 900 is 1000. That was a Vedic community of 1000 people. So Shudras would be many because they're not properly trained. But even those Shudras, they would be taken, they would respond, the higher Brahmana, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas would take the responsibility to train them well, so that they don't commit adharma. That responsibility would be taken. It was the responsibility of the Brahmana to train everyone else. It was responsibility of Kshatriya to administer the right type of training. Yes. It was the responsibility of Vaishyas to accept the training and pass it on to the Shudras. So there was a perfect system. But Kalau Shudra Sambhava means there is unfortunately very untrained population. But Prabhupada said our Krishna conscious societies should produce Brahmanas. And what is the symptom of Brahmanas? They come for the Srimad Bhagavatam class. Thank you so much. You're all wonderful Brahmanas. All of you. Yes, without a doubt, I can close my eyes and tell you're all Brahmanas. Because you're all coming for the Bhagavatam class. Anybody who hears Bhagavatam becomes more than a Brahmana. Kanwal Chaddaji, I will definitely take your question in the end. I'll just complete the purport. Is it okay? Kadam Priya Prabhu.
Jibi.
Definitely. Of course, although Maharaj Agnidhar had a desire to be transferred to Pitrulok, this does not mean that his mentality was that of a Shudra. He was a Kshatriya. His mentality, see, even that's why in the Vedic times, a person is having a pure Varna. He was a Kshatriya by Varna. That's why he wanted to be. But he was a mundane Kshatriya, not a Rajarishi, as I mentioned. Maharaj Agnidhar desired to be transferred to Pitruloka, and therefore he needed a wife, because anyone desiring to be transferred to Pitruloka must leave behind a good son to offer early yearly pinda. I mentioned, right, the logic, or prasada from Lord Vishnu. And here, even here, actually the success of Shraddha is what, you know, the success of Shraddha is when you feed the devotees, you feed the Brahmanas. And when they are pleased, that time Vishnu is pleased. So that's why when actually the Pitrupaksh comes, it becomes really difficult. I feel like going and hiding somewhere. Because many people invite us. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, today feast at our place. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please come. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Hare Krishna Prabhuji. I feel like going and running away somewhere. Yes, there's so many feast offers come and you are supposed to eat. What to do? Because they think I'm a Brahmana. I'm not a Brahmana. I'm a Shudra. Worse than Shudra. But somehow that's how it is. One has to eat a lot. And when the Brahmana is pleased, then Lord Vishnu is pleased. So even Hari, if you see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Advaitacharya was also organizing a Shraddha. He was organizing a Shraddha and he was looking for the right Brahmana. And he found Haridas Thakur there. Just now we had Advaitacharya's appearance. Jay. So he offered the Shraddha's Agra Puja to Haridas Thakur. He fed him the pinda. UB. And Haridas Thakur at that point of time was considered like an outcast. But Advaitacharya was the leader of the Vaishnavas and he was also the leader of the Brahmanas, both. And thus, when he offered, everybody accepted. He took a great risk. One may say Haridas was not born in a proper family. But Advaitacharya knew that Haridas is constantly chanting holy name. He is million times more superior to any Brahmana. He is the best Brahmana available. So let me feed him the effect of the foodstuffs of Shraddha. So he wanted a wife, and probably that's why he went to the place where the heavenly Apsaras come to take their bath or to stroll. So he thought he could select a very beautiful wife from the heavenly society. And later on he does get married to Purva Chitti, who's a very beautiful Apsara. Therefore he went to Mandara Hill, where the women of the demigods generally come to worship Lord Brahma. So he also went to worship Lord Brahma there. So he had a lot of ulterior motives. In the Bhagavad Gita 4.12, it is said, Kangshata Karmana Sindhi Yajante Iha Devata Shipram Hi Manushe Lokem Siddhim Parvati Karmachar. The materialists who want quick results in the material world worship the demigods. Yes, that's what people of Kali Yuga want. Normally, I take Bhakti Shastri classes and I say, well, my Bhakti Shastri is one of the fastest Bhakti Shastris. I say 2 months. People are like, Prabhuji, is it possible in 2 weeks? 2 weeks. My God. People want it so fast. Prabhu, 2 months at max. I said, come on, then please get another teacher. People want crash courses in Kali Yuga. Everything fast. Nowadays, there are instant foodstuffs also. You just heat that particular material and you get instant noodles, instant chopsies, instant pasta. Everyone wants everything instant. They don't want to work hard. Hard work, nah, instant. Everything instant. Just put it in the microwave and done. We get instant food. See, that's how difficult it is. So people, those who want instant things, you have to go to demigods. They'll give it to you. This is also confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Shri Aishwarya Prajepsavaha. Those who desire beautiful wives, substantial wealth and many sons worship the demigods, but an intelligent devotee. I showed you that section from the Bhagavatam. But an intelligent devotee, instead of being entangled by the happiness of this material world in the form of beautiful wife, material opulence and children, desires to be immediately transferred back home, back to Godhead. Immediately. So when do you want to go back to Godhead? Your answer ideally should be now. Right here, right now. Of course, some of you, it may be very difficult. Prabhu, how can I leave all these things, all responsibilities and go? No. But this should be the eagerness one should have. One should have that eagerness to go back to Godhead right now. And thus, he worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Yes? So this section teaches us how we should have the right object of worship. See, Dhruva Maharaj may not have the right objective of worship. He also wanted to have a kingdom greater than Brahma. Hiranyakashipu also wanted a kingdom like Brahma. Yes, so apparently speaking, Dhruva Maharaj was more materialistic than Hiranyakashipu. But why Dhruva Maharaj was purified? Because he had the right object of meditation. On the other hand, Hiranyakashipu did not have that. So we may all not be very purified in terms of desires, but one thing we can have is the right object of meditation. And by the regular association, even our objective of meditation will be purified. That all we want is Krishna Prem. And our object of worship is Krishna. So we have to choose the right environment. And the right environment is right here, where we are coming regularly for the Bhakti Sangha Japa group. This is the right environment for anybody to practice devotion service. So you all have everything. So definitely all of you are going back to Godhead. Once you reach there, please pull up this fallen soul also. Please take me also and pull me up there. So this is the main lesson that we learn. Have the right object, have the right objective, have the right environment. Very important. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? We have 5 minutes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Vivek Prabhu, right?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes. Hare Krishna. Dandavat Pranam, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for a nice class. Explained different aspects about Pitruloka and the reasons of why the king had to suffer this. Prabhuji, I have a question. So sometimes Pitruloka has been synonymously used to explain the abode of Vidura also. In the first canto, Prabhupada's, or even in Bhagavatam directly states. So how do we understand Yamaraj's abode of Pitruloka and the Pitruloka that we are referring to? What is the difference? If you can explain that, that will be helpful, Prabhuji. Thank
Good
you.
Question. Good question, Vivek Prabhu. So if you read even the fifth canto coming ahead, there will be section of structure of the universe. So when you read that section, you will find that there is Brahmaloka above the Meru Parvat. There is Brahmaloka in the Satyaloka. There is Brahma's abode even somewhere in the heavenly planets. What is all this, Prabhu? So what we need to understand is that every different demigods have certain dining tables. They have certain work areas. They have certain place where they go out to sport. They have certain places where you sit down for with your family time. There are certain meeting rooms. There are certain places where they do their sadhana. So for all these things, demigods have different places. Just like we also. We have a bedroom where we take rest. We have a dining hall where we eat. We have a main hall where we stay and do our main activities. We have an office place even within home. There's a place. And there's a place of work also where we report to. Of course, now the lockdown situation, we don't physically go. We work online. So we have different places for different things. Similarly, the demigods also have different places where they do different activities. So Yamaraj also has a role to play in the Pitruloka. So there is a cabin made for him there also. Is it okay?
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
But his capital is Samyamanipur. The Samyamanipur is there in the bottommost, southernmost part of the universe.
Okay.
That's his capital.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Thank Krishna.
You. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. We'll have His Grace Vamsidhari Gopal Prabhu, and then we'll have His Grace Kadam Priya Prabhu, who's been raising his hand since the big, no, since the last 10 minutes he's raising his hands. So we'll give him a chance after you. Yes, Vamsidhari Gopal Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for the wonderful class. So Prabhuji, I have a question. Like in India, sometimes like Brahmanas don't wish to eat Shraddha Prasadam. Like some Brahmanas have aversion to eat Shraddha. And they say that like some, even following that, then some people, materialistic people, like also don't prefer to eat in Shraddha. But we understand that if it is a prasad, then and the objective is to please the Brahmana by feeding that prasad. So why is this contradiction in the society? Like, is it some misconception or what it is?
I get it. See, there are two classes of Brahmanas. One are the Smartha Brahmanas, the second are the Vaishnava Brahmanas. So the Vaishnava Brahmanas love Vishnu Prasad. On the other hand, the Smartha Brahmanas, they don't have faith in Vishnu Prasad.
Okay.
Yes, they don't. So such kind of people who are averse, unfortunately, because of a corrupted mentality. In Kali Yuga, the corruption creeps in everywhere. Right? So the Brahmana society got corrupted because of which Kali Yuga started. So there are certain section of people who are Smartha Brahmanas. The moment they hear that this is Vishnu Prasad, they become quite offensive. And they refuse.
Okay.
On the other hand, when devotees come to know that this is Vishnu Prasad, they accept it very gratefully.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So ideally then, yeah, so we should feed Vaishnava Brahmanas and then it's all right. Yes.
So yeah. All of them who are here right now in the Bhagavatam class.
Yeah, we are all
part of Bhakti. Right. They are all Vaishnava Brahmanas. You feed them, you'll be successful.
Right. Thank you, Prabhu. Yes.
Thank you. So we'll have, you decide the order. We'll have Kadam Priya Prabhu first.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Yes.
Thank you.
Prabhu, now, usually we see in India, they like many people, like most of the people, they want to have sons. So I believe like this is the reason why they want to have son. So now what about the families who have only daughters though? So how they will be liberated? So is it only for the putra or putri also? And if somebody asks this question.
Yes. So we have seen even putris doing shraddha. In places where there is no putra, even the putris can offer the pinda. There is nothing wrong. Putra, putri. See, the word putri also means punama targitraje titi putrihi. So they also have the same responsibility. So they also have a responsibility. It's not like that. So even putris offer the shraddha, it's accepted. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, Prabhu. Prabhu, Mataji, who are Vivek Prabhu has already asked a question, so I'll request Mataji to speak. Then nobody has, then Vivek Prabhu again. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. So you were talking that about the consciousness and also like, you know, to do like so much when the Mataji is pregnant, like they have to go through and everything, and consciousness is important. And but we see like, you know, most of the devotees, kids are devotees, but also we see outside people also, they have this so much of, you know, as soon as they're born, they're searching for a good things. The child is very much interested in the God consciousness, even though their parents are fully materialistic. How can we understand this? Can you explain, Prabhuji? Means, you were telling that, you know, there should be so much underwent, but their parents did not underwent everything, but still the child is so glorious. Means we can see the child is so devotional. Then how can I understand that one, Prabhu? Can you explain me?
Yeah. If one wants to get, we get a good progeny, it's important to have good consciousness. And if one's consciousness is not so good, one may not get a good progeny. But there are cases where one gets a good progeny because just at the time of conception, one may have a very good consciousness. If like Hiranyakashipu, before impregnating his wife Kayadu, he had chanted the names of Krishna. He was forced to chant. Because there was a parrot who came to distract him. And that parrot was Krishna, 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 Krishna. So Hiranyakashipu was feeling very disturbed. He tried to ignore him, but he was disturbed. Then he chased that parrot. He went, started chasing him, and the parrot entered his home. And then his wife said, oh my lord, you were supposed to be in penance. Why have you come here? He said, actually, there was a parrot who chased. I was chasing the parrot who was troubling me, irritating me in the penance. And he was chanting Krishna, 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 Krishna. He chanted. And then he begot Prahlad. So there are causes. So we don't know in what consciousness with have the parents begot the child. They may in general be materialistic. In general. But they might have been very expressed their gratitude to God. They might be God conscious at the time of conception. That's for sure. On the other hand, we find that the parents may be really devotional, but somehow, like Priyavrata Maharaj, somehow, unfortunately, at the time of impregnation, they were not having the right consciousness. So the child turns out to be like Agnidhara. So it is the consciousness at the time of impregnation and not in general that matters. So I give you extreme examples. I give you Hiranyakashipu and Priyavrata is already there. But it is true. Laws are laws. Good consciousness, good progeny. Bad consciousness, bad progeny. That's very clear.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I guess if nobody else has any question, then Vivek Prabhu can ask.
Krishna Prabhu. Can I go, Prabhu? Sir, I couldn't raise my hand. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam Prabhu.
His Grace Suresh Varsham Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu.
Very nicely the purport, Prabhuji. So, Prabhu, my question is, not all the souls go to Pitraloka, right? They can go, they might go to any of the lower or higher planetary system. So,
okay. Yeah. Finish your question.
Yeah, so in that case, the person on the earthly planet may not required to offer, and if it offers also, where does that Pitradham go?
Yes. There is a Garuda Puran. There's an elaborate section which describes about life after death. So as per Garuda Puran, Pitruloka is a checking station and a passing by destination for everybody. In general, those are not devotees. Those are not devotees. Generally have to step to Pitruloka. There he is welcomed by the Pitras. They welcome him. They welcome the person. That's the grandsire, grandson, great-grandfather. They welcome this person. And that is when this grand, great-grandfather, he goes on to his next destination, where he's supposed to go karmically. And then these three stay. Then the, when this son comes, then he, they all welcome him and then he leaves. Then these three stay. Like, that's how it goes on.
It's anyway so short
as
time.
Per Garuda Puran, yeah, one has to stay there for some duration.
And some stay extended period of time, Prabhu? Some ancestors.
It all depends. Yeah, karmically, it all depends on the karma. It all depends on karma and pinda. It depends on that.
Yeah,
so everyone's destination in any place is, it's all there. Just like, for example, I gave you, there's a $1 million suite. So if you have $10 million, you can stay in the suite for 10 days. Not more than that. Right? And you need some place to stay. So, well, you stay for 10 days.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Okay. There are some questions online also. I don't know. So meanwhile, Vivek Prabhu makes his question. I'll just read this. Gauri Sevika Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. If one's partner is atheistic and desirous, whereas the other partner is Krishna conscious, how would they cooperate with each other? It's difficult. Usually when two people have different mentality, mindsets, approaches and attitude, it's very difficult for cooperation. Cooperation can happen when there is intersection. So definitely I would request the partner who's Krishna conscious to create a very inspiring atmosphere. He can inspire, don't impose. On the other hand, inspire the partner by making them meet with such wonderful devotees. They meet wonderful devotees. They see the behavior. They see the lifestyle of devotees. They see their wonderful good qualities. That will definitely please and touch the heart of the partner. So at least the atheistic partner may continue being an atheist, but he will not mind his partner, his or her partner, to practice Krishna consciousness. We should bring the partner at least to that particular state. Yes? So we can try to inspire. We'll not try to impose. Let's make an effort. If it's not working out, no problem. It's all right. Let Krishna do the needful. You do your part. And we try to be a well-wishing friend as far as possible. Yes, Vivek Prabhu. And then I will read the other questions which are there. Oh, I was supposed to end at 6:50. What do I do, moderator Mataji? Please tell us. Tiffany Mataji, what should I do?
Yeah, Prabhuji, if you have time, you can continue. We love to have you here.
No, I love to be here, actually. You're all such serious devotees. It's my sense gratification to come amongst all of you. Yes. So you can tell, please, you can type a private message and I will end. Mostly the questions will get over right now. Yes, there are two Vivek Prabhus with both their hands up.
Officially, we have half an hour.
My Lord. I have another meeting at 7:15. Anyways, I have to end.
Yeah, yes. If you have meeting, then we can end.
Okay, I'll serve these devotees who are there and we'll end. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Both Vivek Prabhus together. I thought there's only one. Okay. No problem. Who had Prabhuji asked the question previously, the other devotee can ask, then I'll address the other Vivek Prabhu.
Prabhuji, I'm Vivek. Today was like wonderful class and I would like appreciate the way you were like articulating everything. And I have a few doubts, like sometimes our object of worship, like some people's object of worship, they are wrong, but their objective is good. Like they have a like devotional, pure devotional service attitude. But will the demigods or like if they are devotees, will they transfer their like bhakti to the right person? Like, okay.
You're right. It happens. Even in our ISKCON movement, I've seen many sannyasis who've actually been devotees of Shiva. They were worshippers of Shiva. And they worship Shiva with absolutely no desires. And later on, they were directed to Jagannath. Some were directed to Panduranga, Krishna. It happens. I've seen this. Many cases. I can give so many case studies. Even other demigods also. When they have pure intent, even Ganesh, pure intent with that, they worship. Ganesh is a devotee of Narsimhadev. Actually, all these demigods are devotees. And when they see that he has no material desires and he wants to offer his pure love and worship, then they direct him ahead. They give their bhakti and direct him ahead. It's true. Good understanding. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Vivek Prabhu. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. So Prabhuji, so you mentioned during the class regarding Devarishi Bhutaptam, right?
That particular verse. Yes.
So my question is, being a neophyte devotee, my current understanding is that that is not applicable to practicing devotees like me who are not yet there. That is applicable only for, say, who a devotee who has given up all material desires or is in the path of pure devotional service. Is the understanding correct?
Yes. Sarvatmanaye sharanam sharanam, which means one who has become a pure devotee by full surrender.
Okay.
You're right. Only for such people it's applicable. But even there are two kinds of pure devotees. One pure devotee who has perfected his devotion, and second pure devotee who is still under the shower, who is being cleansed. So as long and until we are under the shower, a person under the shower may not have been purified, but he will be purified eventually. Why? Because you have taken shelter of the right source for purification. So in that sense, it applies to us also, whoever is under the shower and who is not running away from the process of cleansing. So stick to the process of devotional service.
Okay.
Then this verse even applies to you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Prabhupada writes this. There are two types of pure devotees, in practice and in perfection.
So where is that reference, Prabhuji? Is there?
Exactly. I can get it for you. But it is there. You type it in the folios, you'll get.
Sure, Prabhuji.
Pure devotees in practice are sadhana bhaktas. Pure devotees in perfect stage, they are like premi bhaktas or raga bhaktas. So we are right now not sadhana bhaktas also, because we have other material desires, etc. So our cleansing is happening very partially. We are sadhakas. Sadhakas. You type it in the folios, you'll get. It's very famous.
Okay.
It'll take some time. Other questions would go. That's why I'm not. Otherwise, I would have given you the right reference as well.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
I'll take all of your comments also. Okay. There is a question. Okay, partner question is done. Can I have WhatsApp number, Prabhuji? This is the phone that I use. You can take darshan of my phone. So, no WhatsApp. This is button phone. This is the first phone that ever, you know, was used in the planet. That's what I see. It seems like that. This is the phone I use for the safety, my own personal safety, as well as for others' safety. If the moderators are okay, I can give my email ID. If I have their permission, I can circulate my email ID. No problem. Sure, Bhargavi Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji, sure. You can share your email address.
Normally, I reply to emails within 24 hours. In some emergency situations, doesn't happen, but normally I clear off my inbox. I mail and I do it. Sanatan Dharma Prabhuji, how can we find out more about your Bhakti Shastri course? Well, you can mail me. I will give you the details, surely. Thank you for your wonderful and insightful class, Kirti Dasundari Mataji. Thank you so much. How to know our purpose in this world? And getting married is a mandatory thing? Questions. Okay. All right. How to know our purpose in this world? We have to understand what exactly is the philosophy of life. So I would request you, if you really want to know the purpose of our purpose in this world, you can start reading the Bhagavad Gita. Because this is the book that instills the scripts of the right purpose. This is a book of all purposes. Why? There's why we do what we do. Everything gets clarified with this particular book. So you can start reading the Bhagavad Gita. And when you read Bhagavad Gita, and even when you hear from the great souls, sadhus, you hear from them, we definitely get a sense of purpose in this world. Yes? And I would especially like to make your job simple. If you say, well, that's too much of a time, I can't wait, I'd request you to go back and read the Bhagavad Gita chapter 8 completely, because that gives the purpose of our existence, attaining the supreme title. And if you say, no, Prabhu, I'm very impatient, I want to answer right now, then please read Bhagavad Gita chapter 8, verses number 15 and 16. You'll get the purpose, the question, answer of the question. And getting married is a mandatory thing. Well, I'm not married. Just informing you. I'm a brahmachari and I'm not married. But we should check out our nature. That's very important. So that's why there's an importance of spiritual mentor in your life. So whichever yatra you belong to, whether it's Charlotte, North Carolina, wherever, have a mentor and introspect with your nature. What exactly is your nature? And as per the Shastras also, if you see, the 99% of the population, they will serve and become wonderful grihasthas. Very few of them may choose the path of a brahmacharya. Yes, so is getting married a mandatory thing? Well, that depends on your swabhava, your nature. And that can be analyzed in discussion with the mentor. Right? Gehna Mataji. Your question.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for the class. I think the hand got raised by
mistake.
Thank you.
No problem. So have I missed any question? I guess not. I've written.
Prabhuji, you have answered all of them.
Prabhuji, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Prabhuji, I have a question, Prabhuji. Actually, some people, they don't marry and they don't get kids. And once, because they do the Pitru, like every yearly Pitru Paksha, they need to have a son or any daughter. But if they don't have kids, the generation will end over there only, no, Prabhuji. So how does it, even the last person who is going to, who dies, but there's no further generation for him to put the Sharda Karma, to do the Sharda, then how does it work? Then the generation ends over there.
Yes, very true. So normally the generation ends off there completely when you don't have kids. So who does the Shraddha? Yeah. So normally such people, for them, the Shraddha can also be done by the children of the relatives. It's because they come in the same Kula, the same dynasty. That can be done. So when you're doing for the father, suppose somebody is a mother, you can do for the mother's sister as well. It's allowed. Normally the father, then father's brother as well. They do that. But best for such people is to become devotees. So you don't have to worry about Shraddha and all these things. Absolutely. Krishna takes care of everything. Yes. So it can be done by relatives. Because not everybody has a putra in the karmic account. Like Chitraketu Maharaj. Who did his Shraddha? His son died before him. When he was only 5 years old. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it may not be the case every time. So that's taken care by Krishna.
Thank you very much. Once a person dies, if he's a devotee also, he goes to the Pitruloka, Prabhuji, or he can go to the Krishna?
A devotee. Krishna says, a devotee who has surrendered. That's Yetu Sarvani Karmani Mahi Sanyasya Chetasaha Ananye Neva Yogena Maham Dhyayanto Upasate. Who has been a lifelong Ananya Bhakta, a pure devotee. Tesha Maham Samuddharta Mrutyu Samsara Sagarat Bhavami Nachirat Partha Maya Vesitam. Even Krishna doesn't send the Vaikuntha plane, he personally comes. He personally comes to pick up the devotee from the ocean of Bhava Sagar and pick him up and takes him to Krishna Loka.
But in our situation, my situation, I'm not a pure devotee, I'm just going. So where do we go?
Where? I'm sorry?
In my situation, I'm just practicing devotional service. I'm not a pure devotee. So after our death, do we go to Pitruloka or Krishna Loka or take birth immediately? Does it work?
Yes. So that depends on the quality and quantity of your devotional service. The kind of devotional service you're rendering right now, you do it lifelong, you'll definitely go back to Godhead. Because you connect it to the right source, bhakti, sangha, japa. It's perfect. On the other hand, somehow, unfortunately, if you're not able to complete, then at least one thing is we guaranteed get a human birth. Human birth is guaranteed. If somebody is not done enough bhakti, human birth. If somebody has done enough bhakti and slightly more in quantity, in magnitude, then the person, Shuchi Nam Srimatam Gehe, Yoga Brashto Bijayate. Such a person gets a birth in the house of a very rich merchant or in the home of a very pious Brahmana. So the pains and pangs of this material world are diminished for such a person. And suppose a person has been very, very advanced in devotional service, then definitely next birth will be in the house of Vaishnavas, where the first thing that one opens the eyes and sees is a tilak, the first thing that one hears as soon as the ears are activated is Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And the first ever grains to go in the mouth is prasad. So he gets birth in such a home. So in all cases, Krishna personally ensures that the bhakti continues. But let's try our level best to make it in this one lifetime. Let's not have more. Last, okay, there's a comment. Kirtidasantri Mataji. Is this verse you are referring? Sai Bhakta Gana Haya Dvivida Prakar. There are two types of bhakta. Parishuddha Gana Eka Sadhana Gana are. Yes. See, the Parishuddha Gana are the direct associates of Lord in spiritual world. They're called the Siddha. They're called Nitya Siddhas. And then Sadhana Gana are the Sadhana Siddhas who perfect their lives in this world. I was not referring to this verse because this verse refers pure devotees. 1 minute. In the spiritual world, pure devotees in practice. Yes, you're right. Sort of, yes. You're right. Good one. So you can take the reference. Please give the reference also, Mataji. It will be very helpful for our Vivek Prabhu. And also for Chetan Mataji. Srila Prabhupada, explaining Prabhupada line by line is very helping us. Frankly speaking, this is not the standard ISKCON norm. ISKCON norm is read the whole purport and then explain. But now, why I do line by line is because I'm not confident I'll be able to keep all of you awake. That I'm not very confident. That's why I take line by line so that I can have a strong vigilance. Oh, they're awake. Fine, they're awake. Awake, good. Line, next line, awake. So that way we read, and otherwise normally what happens is when the reader is reading Prabhupada purport, okay, let's just go and come back. Purport is going on after all. So people go off and they never come back. And those who do come back, they're like, oh, what just happened? What just happened? So we neither read Prabhupada purport properly, neither are we actually paying attention in the class. So this line by line, I personally do in such forums. This is how I take Bhagavatam class. And that's accepted. There's no problem. Even His Grace Burijan Prabhu does it. I remember whenever he comes to Pune, he goes line by line. He's one of the best teachers I've seen. Yes, he's Srila Prabhupada's disciple, Australia. So he does it that way. So I'm just trying to emulate his model. So thank you all very much. I guess we are out of questions. The CC Adi Leela 1.64. Yes. Parishad Gana Sadhana Bhakta Ara. Isava Bhakta Hoye Duvida Prakar. 2 points of Bhaktas. Very nice. Amazing. Thank you. This is the exact verse, I guess. Thank you, Bhargavi Mataji, for allowing me to speak.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your very wonderful power packed class.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, can you hear me?
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah. Prabhuji, very, very beautiful class and so many questions got answered because of your class. And you know, we have two kids and both of them were like, they were born when we were not devotee and no chanting, no nothing, we didn't know anything. So now they are giving hard time to us. So what should we do?
To be very frank, I gave a lot of hard time to my parents. But they kept loving me, no matter what. As a result, whatever little good qualities I have, yes, they're in front of you. I gave them really hard time. But they were just very loving and caring, always. That's how as devotees we can be. And we need to understand one thing, especially when the children grow old. They need an alternative source of inspiration also. We can't keep dictating their terms. Our terms to them. They need an alternative inspiration source. So what we can do as parents is to create the right kind of inspiration for them. You can introduce them to some good devotees with which the wavelength, we say, na, the wavelength matches.
Yeah.
We can do that and then be detached. We can pray to Krishna. Let's do our part of being good parents.
Yes.
So we have, as parents, have to create that inspiration and give them. Give them the right inspiration and don't worry. So the very fact that you and your husband have become devotees is the fact that bhakti is there, even in them. It is there. It just has to be fanned. The spark has to be fanned. So who can fan the spark correctly? Find the right person. Or Shivani Mataji has any question? She had raised her hand. Okay, I guess.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Huh, hi, Krishna.
Thank you for a wonderful class. Yes, my question is,
okay, fine.
Girls can do Hare Krishna Babuji, can you hear me?
Yes. Actually, Madhi, I have a request, humble request. If you could turn off your video, I think your wavelength, the signal's strength is quite poor. If you turn off the video, we can hear your audio. Yes. You're muted now.
Okay, sorry. You had said that girls can do Pettidan if there's no sun.
So I have observed this practice. No
sun, like, you know, these days people don't believe in.
These days there is no sun?
No, she's saying that people won't believe on that.
Yes, oh, that so, is,
yeah. People won't believe that, okay.
Even if they have a sun, even though they have a sun, the sun will not do the Pittadan. So in that case, can daughters do it for the parents and so forth?
Yes. Yes. I say yes. Definitely. Why not? Ideally, it's a responsibility not of the son alone. It's a collective responsibility. The whole siblings, everybody. It's a collective responsibility. Because everyone, putra and putris, they're all. But you normally, the eldest child takes the responsibility on his shoulders to do it.
Okay.
But was I see the family of His Grace Radhesham Prabhu, my Shiksha Guru. So he's a brahmachari in the temple.
Okay, thank you
so
for clearing.
He has three sisters. So they all do it together. That's what I have seen. I've observed from the example. Okay. Thank you. I think we'll conclude here.
Yes, Prabhu. Sure. Thank you. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for the very, very beautiful class. And it's a power-packed class, inspiring all of us. And we look forward for your association in the future also. And yeah, let us pay our obeisances to all the Vaishnavas and Prabhuji, Vancha Kalpataru, Vyascha Kripa, Sandhu, Prabhuji, Ki Jai,
Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.